Hey, everyone.
Hi, you stupid fucking idiot.
Stop it?
I guess I'm the stupid fucking idiot.
Yeah, now. There you go.
This week on that pod, we have an incredible guest. It's Nori Reed, a comedian, a writer, a Twitter enthusiast.
We have a great conversation about their life, their journey to find comedy, dating, Grindr screenshots, all of that. I had such a good time talking with Nori.
It's a really fun episode, so I hope you guys really love and enjoy it. And then make sure to go follow Nori. She about to blow up.
Yeah, and you know, she got a lot of jokes in there too.
She funny. She funnier than you for sure. All right, enjoy the episode.
Bye.
Forever. Dog.
When first choice is a big old bus,
you turn around and boom, you end up with us.
Sloppy seconds.
Oh, diva.
Our number is 213-536-9180. Our email is sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. Now on with the show. Are you ready for some sloppy seconds, you stupid little fucks, you nasty little fucks, you dirty little fucks, you stupid little fucks? Hi, I'm Big Dipper, and that's Meatball. And welcome back to Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball. I'm Meatball, and that's Big Dipper.
There you go. You got it.
You're welcome.
Are you, Meatball?
I'm living my best life.
I see some sequins in the back. Is that sequin dot, or is that looks like expensive fabric?
It was expensive sequin fabric. It was $25 a yard.
Oh, you just reached to it gracefully and then pulled your arm back.
I couldn't. It's a dress. I made a dress yesterday. I was having a panic attack because I did come in contact with someone who has COVID, and we were both unmasked. So I am self-isolating, not doing anything, and waiting to get my test results back.
If only the rest of the world took your lead and followed your suit. What do they call
that? Yeah, followed my suit, my shiny suit that I made. No, I felt like Bianca Del Rio, because I feel like right before a show, when she starts stressing out, she just starts making a ton of costumes for the show. Are you like, do you follow her Instagram? Because now she's like making a, you don't follow Bianca Del Rio's Instagram?
Oh, no, I do. But I don't know.
No,
that
you heard it here first. Dipper hates Bianca.
Don't do that.
Least deserving winner.
Listen,
lip synced. How dare she even compete?
If we're going to bring in hot takes here, I think we might as well bring on our special guest for today. We are very happy to have with us comedian Nori Reed.
Hi.
Hello.
Hi. I just want to start. Just the way that you just came for Bianca Del Rio was kind of hard for me. Just want to be honest. Just the way that you really just savagely just like destroyed her was really hard to just to hear.
Wait, what did I do?
I'm just kidding.
I thought I was saying respectful things. Oh well. She could take it.
You don't know about comedy today, people?
I don't do jokes. I don't know
Nori,
how comedy.
You know,
works.
Nori tells jokes, so
I do know that. I've watched a lot of jokes.
Oh yeah.
Okay.
Now, let's pull back the curtain here. We have never met any of us. I mean, well, I've met Meatball before. Welcome. This is so exciting. Thank you for doing this blindly.
I know. It's like a blind. It's my first, I think, like blind date podcast.
Word. Really?
Yeah.
Oh, let's see how uncomfortable we can make you.
No,
I'm just kidding.
I love that we're all fat.
Yes.
We
do a lot of fat
I
talk.
I love that we're fat.
Oh, okay. Well, speaking of being fat, do you feel like a lot of your friends secretly got in shape during COVID?
I am feeling that way.
I feel that way very much so.
Well, not so secretly, because now they're doing the, like, 1 year ago, they're doing the posts. The posts are happening where they're showing their results.
I thought we were all supposed to be in on this together. I thought we were all going to gain weight and come out of this fat and sweaty. But no, some of my friends are out there in Speedos, and I'm like, you didn't have abs a year ago. What's happening?
It's sick. I think it's sick, and I think it's disgusting, and honestly, like, it's really hurtful, too. I think it's, like, very hurtful on a personal level, very fatphobic, very transphobic, if I can be honest. It just is very hard. I just don't trust anyone who, like, lost weight during the pandemic. I don't trust them.
Exactly.
I don't trust them.
Were they in the house?
No. They weren't quarantining, I'll tell you that. No,
they were having secret group workouts.
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-mm. Oh my God. No.
So how has your summer been going?
Mine?
Yeah.
I'm like, okay. I mean, it's not that I had kind of like a funny little breakdown in like February, like totally mental? Kosher. Yeah, like a mental, like a little cute, like a cute little mental breakdown. Like it wasn't like crazy, but I like literally like sent my, I like sent my own ass to Santa Fe, New Mexico.
Okay.
I was like, I'm done. I need to get out of LA. So I like visited a friend in Santa Fe for like 2 months and then came back around May. I don't, those dates don't add up, but I came back in May.
It's fine. You're a liar. It's okay.
I'm a liar. I was crazy. Don't have any memory of any of it. But then I came back and was like, okay, I'm like back in LA now. And then it's been all right. I like filmed a set for the first time, taped a set. Oh. Yeah. For HBO. It was like, it was cool. It was on a rooftop.
Oh yeah. Like, yes, I want to talk about this.
Questions about that. Cause well, it was the HBO Pride comedy gig.
Right,
that's what you're talking.
And yes. They very cleverly took their initials of home box office,
yeah,
and they flipped them in a comedic way to mm-hmm. do an all-inclusive pride event called Human by Orientation, which is slightly clunky, one might argue.
It's a little cringe. No. I mean, it was like a little like straight, like I feel like a straight person did that.
Yeah. Oh, there was absolutely. Like a meeting of straight people who were like, how do we do this? So,
and one out of touch gay guy was there.
Right. Yeah. Who was like, work, passed mama out. Sis, do it.
He was passed out and he woke up and was like, yes. And then just
and they were like, we've got the approval.
Yes.
So that set, you guys are on the, it's a bunch of people. Meg Stalter did a set. Mm-hmm. You did a set. Love. Who else was on that?
Zach Noe Towers.
Oh, yeah. Oh,
incredible. Love. Yeah. Some other people. I don't know. People.
And it was on a roof of a... Was it the parking garage at LAX?
Listen, that was the vibe. Like, literally, we didn't know the location. They sent us the address, like, right before. And so a driver picked me up, which anytime, okay, there was nothing more chic, like Big Little Lies, like rich Marin mom, than like getting into a black like Cadillac and you're just in the back seat, like just looking out the window, like thinking about like poverty. You're just like, you're like passing by all the poor. Yeah, you're passing by the poor people and you're just like, oh God, that looks so hard. You know,
could never be me.
Could
not
never.
In the back of this car.
You're like, oh, that looks so difficult. Like I'm like in satin, and then I like go. I get to the location. I have no idea what it is, and it was in operation. Like it was still operating, like a fruit produce distribution center. So like it's where
like
all the
in
fruit
downtown?
Comes.
So someone down below is like,
I think I know where it was.
Oranges, get your oranges, and you're doing jokes on the roof.
And it smelled like the smell was almost like expensive perfume because it was like musty and like there was like kind of like sewage, like oranges.
It was an oud.
Yes, it was like expensive. I was like, this is expensive. And then
like a straight people being like, let's put the fruits at the fruit distribution center?
It might be. Oh, it literally might. So then they walk us for what it seemed like was a mile. They walked us to this freight elevator, and this gentleman who I believe lives in the elevator.
Oh, wow.
He was like, he opened it up, and it, I swear to God, there's like a bed in there. I was like, you live in this elevator. And like I'm like getting canceled from this podcast. Like I'm like classist. Okay. No, I'm not. I'm a socialist. Just FYI. I'm a socialist.
FYI, everyone.
I'm a socialist. Don't cancel me. And then I went in the elevator, and then they like take you to the roof, and yeah, it was all set up production. It was crazy.
And all the clips are on YouTube. They're like really fun. I also feel like it was one of those things where, were you able to advertise, like all the comedians on the bill, were you able to advertise to your audiences that you were doing that set? Or did they just like hire random people? There are two or three people in the audience who have earbuds in, like they're listening to something else.
That's hard to hear.
Why would you say
that? I did
that,
not know that. I mean,
it's visible. Watching the set and I was like,
oh,
that
no.
woman is maybe listening to music while she's watching this comedy.
She's like listening to your podcast. Like she's like I'm not listening to this tranny. I did my first T word on here, but basically I'm trans for everyone. So basically,
socialist, trans, listen,
trans,
don't cancel her.
Socialist, fat, trans, fat. But like, literally, like, some of them were friends. So like, I knew some of the people. Invite them. I think they just were friends with some of the production people. I don't. It's a small world. I don't know. And then some of them, I guess, were paid. I guess I don't know. I truly don't know.
Well, it's probably easier to get paid extras tested and stuff than it would be for them to just like have randos come in. So that kind of makes sense.
But I really enjoyed the set. You know, you got some humdingers in there. Very funny.
What? I appreciate that. Sorry.
No, you go.
I'm so sorry to interrupt you. I just wanted to say,
please do. He talks too much.
I apologize, Big Dipper. I just wanted to say that on YouTube, they immediately opened the comments, and it was like, I was prepared. Like, it's so funny because I was preparing myself for like whale or like tranny whale or like what, like tranny reds array a whale or like I was like already forming the
aquatic.
Mine were like
aquatic themed.
And like, and what was truly heartbreaking is that trolls are getting woke, and so they're not even going down that road because they know that no one will take them seriously. Literally, they were just like cringe, and I was like, I was like, I can't be like transphobic. I can't be like fatphobic. It's just like cringe. Like that's a safe neg. Like you can truly just call someone cringe because that's their feeling. I can't argue with their feeling. I can't be like, oh, I'm not. It's like, no, they think I'm cringe. And then one person said, ooh, this is pretty bad. And then underneath it replied to their own comment and said, oh, by the way, I'm gay. Like just like to make sure that like people knew that it wasn't like homophobic,
just like you identified as, oh by the way, trans.
like just like FYI, like
this is bad. This isn't... also I'm gay, so it's not like
this
that.
Is bad. Comment below. By the way, I'm a socialist.
Like literally, they were like, just FYI, like I'm part of this community, and I do not like this.
Oh my god, oh my, I get cringe all the time on my music.
I never
videos.
Get anything like that.
What?
Really? Yeah. I mean, I'm sorry. I didn't mean it like that. Whoa. I didn't mean like
you're coming in real hot over here.
Okay. I'm gonna mute myself real quick.
Open the comments. Wait. So how did you like? What first attracted you to stand up? I think stand up is like Meatball and I have this conversation all the time, and our listeners have heard it so many times. We talk about presenters, like we feel like we're both good at, like we can host, we can present, we can like have a bubbly attitude and like keep the, you know, volley the jokes back and forth. But stand up, like crafting a joke, deciding a tone, creating what's gonna happen in something as small as 5 minutes to as long as an hour, you know, it's like that. To me, you have to have a real obsession in order to want to dive into that and then go like, oh, if I switch the words, that'll land better. You really want to dissect the joke. So how did that become something you were interested in?
Yeah. First of all, you have to be mentally ill. You have to be a mentally ill person to even like think about going on stage and like doing something like that. But the answer is like pretty queer. I came up in Oakland, California. So very amazing, like queer, trans, POC kind of affirming place. And I literally I wasn't in the comedy scene at all. I was just a normal I was just like, you know, like a everyday person. And then there was this program, like nowhere else in the world but Oakland, there was a program to teach trans women of color stand-up comedy.
Work.
I know.
I love Oakland.
Right? Oakland. Like, truly Oakland. Like, and because they were like, it's empowering. We'll pay you money to do it. And then, like, at the end, you do this big performance in front of, like, 600 people. Like,
oh, my
in the
God.
In the community.
Oh, wow.
It was true. In a church.
It was, like, no tethered less. To a farmer's market.
Yes, there's a farmer's market in the church. It was in like this historic black church, And I loved it. I was hooked. I was like, oh my God. And it's funny because as a trans person, life is so difficult. And I felt like I found this thing that I was good at. And it was just so empowering to be like, oh my God, like when I'm out in the world, I don't have control over how people perceive me, how they might interact with me. But when I'm on stage, I have the power. It's like, I'm the one. I think people who do drag, I feel like have a similar narrative of like, it's empowering to be the one who's controlling the space. Like absolutely. I'm the one who's in control. Like it's a one way conversation. I have the mic.
Yes.
You listen. And then that was just queer communities. And then when I started to branch out into doing comedy for just everyone, and my audiences were mostly cis people or straight people, it became something different of like, oh my God, I get to like make cis people uncomfortable. I get to make them feel just as uncomfortable as I feel every day. And it became something like kind of radical and sick of like, ooh, like, is this actually like radical or is this a mental illness? I do not know. But a little bit of both. Why not? But basically, like, I love that space of like getting to interact with cis and straight people and kind of like, I have this new joke that I'm doing where I don't know, this might be cringe where you're like doing a stand-up joke on a podcast, but
no, do it. Dipper tries it all the
time.
Thank
you. Wow. Oh, shade. I caught that. but that was shade. But basically it's like, I say that, if I can get like five people in the audience to transition, I get an air fryer. Like being trans as an MLM.
From who? Really? Who sent you the air fryer?
That's fucking funny.
Laverne Cox.
Laverne Cox Inc.
It's Janet Mock is sending you the air fryer.
Yes, and then everyone laughs, and then I just go around, I'm like, who's trans? And then I like start looking around, I'm like, who could be trans? I'm like, you look a little trans, like you could do it, right?
Oh my gosh.
And it's very confrontational, and I get really uncomfortable, and it's actually really funny. Like it's a good time for everyone.
I do a joke where I ask basically if the audience knows what cruising is. And based on like the straight man's response, I'm like, so you've done it. So it's you. And like you like really call them out and call them gay and they do not like it. They like grab their wives. They start acting very macho. I love it.
I did this joke recently at an audience and
I perform at an audience. I'm not performing at for an audience. Them.
That is so funny. But there was a sweet, sweet woman in the front row. And I was like, you look a little trans. I was like, could you do it? And then she got so uncomfortable. She grabbed her husband and then she brought up her finger and then just pointed to her wedding ring. And I was like, because you're married, you can't be trans. And like the audience was just you could just feel the buttholes. Like everyone was just so like on edge. And it was beautiful, I think, possibly.
I just think about all the like heteronormative straight people who literally they have no idea about the vast array of human identities when it comes to like gender and sexuality. And they're just like, oh, unless you are married in a straight couple in a church, you're gay.
Yeah.
And that's it. And we're so entrenched in all of these other sort of like, you know, identities and like fluidities, and like because it's our community, we spend all this time sort of like learning and like being open to it and thinking about it, and then it's like you're face to face with like, oh, the larger group of people is just like, if it's not this, it's that, and I'm not into that, which is just so wild.
Yeah, I watch. I'm on TikTok all the time. Like, obsessed.
Just
I never
watch, right?
I watch. I don't. I have a burner lurkers. Account.
TikTok
watcher.
I troll. I like troll and bully teens within an inch of their life. I'm just kidding. That's not true. I love to watch. There are some trans people, or it kind of feels like cis people appropriating transness. It's getting kind of like weird and awkward out there. But there's like one woman who's like, "Hey y'all, like my pronoun," and she like has like full white dreads, like truly like some sort of hippie person. She was like, guys, I've come to the conclusion my pronouns are we, us. And I was like, oh my God.
Schizophrenia rights.
Right. I guess it was just so. And then the follow-up video was her being like, I'm getting a lot of comments about y'all being confused. I'm confused, okay? I'm trying to figure it out. And I'm like, oh my God. Like, some trans person's gonna get beat up because you are trying to like co-opt like trans identity, and like, yo, you are not trans. Like, not it's, I don't know. It's getting a little weird out there.
So wild.
We us is too much.
We us.
Yeah, we are us.
We are us.
We need to take a break.
Yes. We us.
We'll be right back.
Eating better is easy with Factor's delicious ready-to-eat meals.
Every fresh, never frozen meal is chef-crafted, dietitian approved, and ready to eat in just 2 minutes.
You'll have over 35 different options to choose from every week, including Calorie Smart, Protein Plus, and Keto. Also, there are more than 60 add-ons to help you stay fueled up and feeling good all day long.
When my fridge is stocked with Factor meals, I'm like, oh baby, I don't have to think about this. Mm-hmm. Like, it is so nice. The combinations are so good. I am a meat eater, but the vegetable options, there are so many. Like, I remember I had a mushroom with pasta and like a cauliflower rice. And I was like, the mushroom is filling. Like, there's plenty of portion. There's plenty of vegetable and there's plenty of flavor. And I am usually sort of not a microwave person.
Mm-hmm.
Very cool that this quality of food can just be heated up in the microwave.
And so fast. I also love it because I am a very much into ordering delivery.
I know.
Now having all the food there, I can kind of pick what I want and it's ready in 2 minutes. And I don't have to wait an hour for stuff to get delivered. And these are way healthier options than ordering delivery.
Completely. And when they have multiple things in them, you know, sometimes it's like, oh, if I cook for myself, all I'm going to eat is the biggest bowl of pasta you've ever seen in your life. But this is you get a little pasta and the chicken and a vegetable all in one dish.
Looking for gourmet meals? Try meals that feature premium ingredients like filet mignon, shrimp, truffle butter, broccolini, and asparagus.
And Factor meals eliminate the hassle of prepping, cooking, or cleaning up. All you gotta do is heat up and savor the good stuff.
Customize your weekly meals with the flexibility to get as much or as little as you need. Pause to reschedule deliveries that suit your lifestyle.
And we're celebrating Earth Day all month long with Factor. Look out for the Earth Month Eats badge on the menu items for their lowest carbon footprint meals.
Head to factormeals.com/sloppyseconds50 and use code sloppyseconds50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box.
That's code SLOPPYSECONDS50 at factormeals.com/SLOPPYSECONDS50 to get 50% off your first box plus 20% off your next box while your subscription is active.
That's a slay, baby.
Do you love anime, gaming, movies, and discovering how your favorite pop culture affects everything you do? Then join us on Crunchyroll Presents The Anime Effect. I'm Nick Friedman.
I'm Lee Alec Murray.
And I'm Leah President. Every week you can listen in while we break down the latest pop culture news and dish on what new releases we can't get enough of.
Whether you love movies, I'm going to tell you all about the hopeful 4K re-release of Tron Legacy that happens.
I'm right there with you. Or music. The music in this show is absolutely incredible.
Or anime.
Yeah, and under this mask is another mask.
You can discover your new favorites right here on The Anime Effect.
Listen every Friday wherever you get your podcasts and watch full video episodes on Crunchyroll or on the Crunchyroll YouTube channel.
And we're back. Ooh, that was a pretty good one.
Yeah, it was like the dirty riff.
I have a question for you, Nori. Do you know the musical Wicked?
Yes, I've seen it. I've seen it live on Broadway, my friend.
Mm-hmm. Who was Elphaba?
Oh God, I wish I could tell you. It wasn't Idina. It was after her. If that helps.
Probably Shoshana.
Probably. Well, okay.
I'm glad that you enjoyed it. What were your thoughts on it?
I loved it. I was young. I mean, I was around 20. I think I was 20 and I loved it.
Okay. Okay. Yeah.
That What's happening?
Good. Well, what I just is, ask everybody. I just ask everybody what that is, and then I ask them to do the wicked riff. The ooh.
Are you a singer?
I am not. Oh, honey, I'm not a singer.
Well, I'd like friend. To. Just can you just? Can we just hear?
What's the riff?
Ooh, ah.
Oh, of course. The okay. Ooh, ah.
Perfect.
Ooh,
I love that.
Thank you.
Ooh, a little you made it your own. You made it your own.
Where yeah. do you like to eat in LA?
Oh, I love to eat. Okay, first of all, I love to eat. I'm a huge fan of eating.
I feel like Same. I want to go.
I want to eat somewhere with you.
Oh yeah. my God, let's go out to you eat. And let's, Kim. Let's get COVID. Let's yes, get COVID.
Man. Let's go today while I'm still unsure.
Yes. I love Koreatown. I love Korean barbecue. Mm. I'm a huge fan. I'm Korean. I love that experience, all the meat. It's like,
can I ask your
fun.
Preference on
yeah.
the corn and the cheese at some Korean barbecue?
Yeah, Love at it. First I didn't like it, and then I grew to like it. I guess yeah. like the sweet corn.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, I grew to like it. It took a minute.
Sometimes, depending on the setup, if there's egg and sweet corn and cheese, you know, you have to like add that and cook it on yourself. But I went out with a friend of mine, and they had this setup where there were these like little sort of quarter circle trays around yeah. the main mm-hmm. and yeah. they filled it with all this other stuff that cooks over time. It was the first time I had seen that, because typically yeah. I had just seen
That's
the
like
setup
a good
where it was like yeah and I was like, oh, this is amazing, because he like cracked an egg and was like bye, and I was like, why yeah. did you
let
me
it
that raw
oh, I
egg?
Love that little
and
egg.
Then it cooked over time and you were like, oh, now you can just like mix this in.
Yeah, I love like I feel like Koreans are so smart, because like our food is so expensive, like it's all utterly expensive, yeah. and then you cook it yourself. And so I feel like Koreans are very just smart that way, where we're just like, okay, how can we get these white people to do the absolute most for the most money?
Right. Yeah. You're like, okay, so you just bring me all the supplies. Thank you so much.
Literally. Yeah.
Have you had these corn dogs? Cheese dog? What is
yes.
it?
Oh my God. Oh my God.
Oh my
God.
Two Hands. Have you been to Two Hands in the California market?
Okay. Literally last week, for the first time, I was like, I have time off right now for the first time in forever. She's booked. She's busy.
Yes. Okay.
And I was like, oh my God, I'm going to get those hot dogs. But the wait for Two Hands was like insane.
You put the
so
order
I went
in
to
on
the other
Postmates.
One.
Oh.
Oh. Okay. So I didn't know that. I went to the other one and it was fine, but I think the Two Hands is the one.
Two
to
Hands
go
is
to.
The
give
one.
Us, I, give yeah. us the hack, Meatball.
You. It's not really a hack. You just get the potato corn. I don't like any of them with the hot dog in it.
Me neither.
I don't mozzarella. Like the rice cake either. Yeah, it's the mozzarella, or at Two Hands, you can do half mozzarella, half cheddar.
Ooh.
And so you could start off mozzy and then work your way down to a little cheddar at the end. It's
but
delicious.
What you said
your
you
face
put the order
says, no.
You put the order in on no, Postmates.
You put the
no.
order in on Postmates like 15, 20 minutes before you're gonna go get it. And then when you arrive, it's just sitting there ready for you, hot.
But Postmates
you can do pickup or delivery.
Oh, gotcha.
So you put the order in for pickup and then you just like go grab it okay. and eat it there while it's still hot.
Is it called Two Hands because like you're gonna have two, or is it called Two Hands because it's like
yeah. You know what? I told someone to go there one time and then he texted me on Instagram and was like, me and my boyfriend tried Two Hands last night, and I was like, inside you? Like, what are you talking about? And then it was the restaurant. But I thought he got double fisted.
They fisted at the restaurant.
Whenever you say Two Hands, I just think of Jules' song about her.
My
hands
are small.
What if she did a collab with that restaurant? Because they make so much money, they could get Jewel. They could get Jewel.
Don't hold it in her two tiny hands.
And she says it in Korean. She's like singing in Korean. I don't know.
Do you speak any Korean?
I speak very little Korean. I was born and raised in Kentucky. Whoa. And my mom is.
Was
yeah.
it Christian, Kentucky? Is that
it? Was Christian County, Kentucky.
Oh my goodness.
Oh, there's the accent. It just jumped out.
County, Kentucky.
Honey, I got out of there. Like, it was, it's bad.
What
it's real bad.
What's going on in Christian County? What's going
on there?
A
whole lot of nothing and a whole lot of straight nonsense. And it's the Bible Belt. So it's like white, you know, there wasn't one out person in my entire town.
Oh,
not
my God.
One. So not one gay person.
Like, adjust. How did you figure out who you were?
It's like, you know, I've gone, I've been in therapy since I was 18. So I've had a lot of, I love therapy. It's like my favorite thing in the world. I think it's beautiful. It's gorgeous. I love therapy. I could not speak any highly more of therapy. You know what I'm saying? Of therapy.
Yeah.
I had to like ascribe queerness to things that weren't queer, which I'm trying to like maybe write some jokes about possibly. I don't know. But like
Hal Sparks.
Like, do you know Mitch? So who's that? What's that?
What?
Hal Sparks is that actor he was in, who was not gay, who was on the lead of Queer as Folk on Showtime. And I remembering finding out, I like used to watch those, you know, rent the videos and like, you know, sneak them from the video store. And like,
I feel like only two of those guys were actually gay.
Right. And I remember when I found out that half that cast was not gay and I was like, what the fuck? Anyway, so it was a poorly laid joke. But anyways,
they're rebooting it, and I auditioned for. Well, actually, I passed on it because every fuck. Okay, this is my rant right now.
Get it?
Yes.
Every fucking role right now for trans woman is like Megan Fox type, like 22, like 19 years old Megan Fox fetus embryo. It's like, honey, like I'm trans and like fat and ugly, like leave me alone. Can I please, like, can there be a trans role that's not like stripper hot girl? Like, I'm done. Like, stop.
There's no stop. I mean, that's the problem. They're more accepting now, and they're like, we're gonna start having trans people, but then it's like, we want but it's like not accepting at all, because it's like, we want this version of a trans.
They're like, have you seen the supermodels on Pose?
That's what we're
looking for. These type of women.
We don't want the real world trans.
Have you seen the goddess Trace Lissette portrait trans role? Can you bring that type of actress in?
Literally,
so annoying.
They want like a 1990 supermodel, kind of like Cindy Crawford. And it's like, babe, like, stop. Like, can I please play like some sassy, mean, like abortion doctor? Like, I would love that.
Yeah.
Okay, so you're clearly working on a pilot, we hear. It's called The Sassy Abortionist.
I feel like I would be like an incredible abortion doctor in like a feature.
I love the idea of a trans woman being an abortion doctor.
I just hate the babies.
Not even that. Just being like, just such like an advocate for like uterine health.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very like pro women's rights and an ally.
Yeah.
And no, there's something there. I think there's something very
there's something very real.
Yes.
So you were saying in Christian County, you had to ascribe queerness to things.
Yes. Well, like, okay, this is a very niche reference, but do you know like Mitch Hedberg by chance?
Yes.
No.
Okay. I always thought he was very queer.
Yeah.
Thank you. Okay. So that actually feels so good to hear, because I was little and on watching Comedy Central, and he was on there, and I was like, oh, like, is this queerness? Like, it even though he's straight, I was just like, this is queer, right?
Didn't
like,
he kill himself?
Yes, that's very
queer.
That's
very queer, yeah.
Very trans. Very trans to kill yourself.
What a trans move. Okay.
Very trans.
Wow. Okay. Wow.
Too dark. We're going to cut that out. Got it.
No, we're here. Okay. We're on the ride.
Okay. Your choice.
So then what was the big, see, back to the abortion doctor, your choice. What was the big move to get you out of Christian County?
Well, thank God I had like a tiger mom, like an Asian, like very strict Korean mom, because I made really good grades and kind of like that little queer little thing inside of me that still wasn't like blossomed. Because that's queer. If you're a queer person and you grow up in a place where you can't be queer, you have to internalize it and you have to keep it safe, you know, kind of a vibe.
Yeah.
And so I was like, grades. That's going to get me. I was like, education, it's going to get me out of this town, because no one leaves, everyone stays. And so I made really good grades and got into like a liberal arts school that was incredibly liberal and like too liberal. Like I had culture shock, because it was like I came from a Christian school where they taught creationism and they didn't teach evolution. In art history, they put post-it notes on the genitals of all the statues.
What?
Yeah. And you can take that off. I'm like, honey, that's removable.
Yeah. Like, I'm gonna look at this dick.
I'm gonna look at the dick. Like what do you, I can put it, and then I can put it back. I don't know, like
creationism in creationism. The school?
In science class. Science class was creationism.
That's horrifying.
I know.
So you're in college and you're like, you're just having an awakening, basically.
Yeah. Well, that was my first cute nervous breakdown was in college and was super cute. And the school very politely and very wonderfully supportively was like, wouldn't it be cool if you went to therapy? Like, what? Like, they're like, here's like a choice that's not a choice. Go to therapy right now. Or like, you know, but it's your choice. Wink, wink. And I was like, okay. So started going to therapy. And through that process was like, okay, I'm queer. Like, I'm queer. I'm not straight. I'm something. And that's been a journey in itself. And that's been a long, longer journey than just like that's not just been centered around one event or moment.
Right.
But yeah, it was incredibly, and even it's funny too, because even at this liberal school, there still wasn't trans representation. Like I didn't meet my first trans person until I moved to New York after. And then I worked at Cal and Lord, which is LGBT health center. Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Right.
So I met so many trans people there. And then had this like respect. I had such an adoration for them that I was like, this is something. Like, something's here because the way that I look up to these women is more than just like, it was something very personal that I was feeling.
Yeah.
Yeah. So then that was and then I had this like trans, I don't know, there's other stuff too. But then, yeah, that was for me when I had a realization of like, okay, I'm not just gay, I'm trans. Like, there's more to the story.
Right.
Yeah.
That's so incredible. And that you were working at Cal and Lord too. That must have been a wild place to be at in New York. I remember
tell people stumbling. That got AIDS.
Yeah, I was like, I remember stumbling in there, like, still hungover, like, getting tested.
I gave so much pep to so many gay men. It was insane. Like, literally, like, Fire Island season, which we would call fire season, is just truly insane. Like, so much pep. Just like, pep for this one. And this was before prep. So before prep was an option, it was all about the pep. Yeah.
For anyone who doesn't know about pep, pep is post-exposure prophylaxis, which you can take up to 72 hours after a possible exposure to HIV.
And sooner the better. Sooner the better.
Sooner the better. And so it's sort of the... it's not the equivalent, but it's a very, because it doesn't matter what your orientation is to take PEP, but you know, people equate it to like the morning after pill, the sort of like the proactive sort of whoopsie daisy from the night before.
Yes.
I want to talk to you. Okay, so that's an incredible journey.
Is this podcast sponsored by Truvada? It's like, no. It's like, no. Truvada. No, I'm kidding.
But
I want to talk a this very cool thing. So then obviously then you found comedy in Oakland, which is incredible. Yes. But so you just mentioned that you had a little bit of time off. You're booked and blessed. You recently wrote on this Hot White Heist. It's like a radio play. It's like an Audible original podcast comedy thing starring Bowen Yang and Jane Lynch and so many people, right?
Yes.
What was that like writing comedy for like a podcast vibe?
That was my first room, like my first writer's room. And it was such an incredible experience because everyone was queer. So every writer, which in the like normal world, you'd be lucky if one person was queer. Every single one, the showrunner, and it was produced by Alan Cumming. And so he was in and out of the room, and it was just like such an incredible experience. I got to do a lot of character development for the trans character and really like kind of have the trans character be very nuanced and kind of come from like some really real places that were inspired by some of my experiences. And it was just like a very affirming, wonderful place to learn, because I learned so much about how to be in a writer's room from that experience.
Wow.
And Meatball and I were just talking about this. Like, did you just get like scooped up? Like, was someone in the room who was like, oh, Nora, you should do this?
So Twitter has been a huge place for me. And I've gotten so many of my things from Twitter, which is like, yeah. So anyone out there, start a Twitter. Like, you can maybe meet Alan Cumming. I don't know. But like Twitter, like that's where it's at. So Adam Goldman is the showrunner and the creator of this series. And he reached out to me and was like, I love your Twitter. Like, do you want to?
That's so crazy.
Yeah. And I was like, yeah, I'm free. Like, it was just so, yeah, it was really cool. Yeah.
I love that. That is such a cool experience. And did you
do it all?
I feel
like that's how a lot of people are getting bigger now. Like, I only knew about Z-Way from her Twitter interactions. And then when she started during the pandemic doing the things on her Instagram. Mm-hmm. So it's like, it's insane.
And now she's like, has a Showtime show. It's like crazy. Yeah.
And Demi Lovato ripped off her whole steez.
She did? I'm so sorry. They did?
What do you mean?
Yes, they did. The whole, all of the advertising and everything is like almost identical in color and style to Z-Way's.
And what's Demi up to?
She's got a talk show now.
Oh.
They got a talk show. Ooh, goddamn.
Yeah. Well, they said recently, like, if people mess up, that they're okay with it. They're like, it's fine. Literally.
Just use we and us.
Yeah, they were like, I go by we and us now.
They're weenus now.
They're weenus.
Well, let's take a break. And when we come back, we're going to talk about Grindr screenshots.
Ooh. And we're back. And as said, we're going to talk about some Grindr screenshots.
So your Instagram is a Grindr
conversation.
Boom. Are we doing this? Oh my God, we're doing this.
Oh, it's great.
Like you don't want to do this?
Oh my God, we're doing this? On my public Instagram that anyone can look at?
That is full of screenshots of interactions on Grindr. God. It looks like mostly Grindr, but maybe some other apps. Do you find most of your romantic interactions happen via app?
Yeah, well, okay. Grindr for me is more about, it was more for like validation. Like it really was like, I could count on one hand the times that I've met someone in real life from Grindr for a hookup. Like truly for me is like, there's a lot of like straight guys on there who are just like, you're hot. And like, it's just very like, it's fun and like whatever. But for like realistically where I hook up would be like OkCupid or like Tinder. Yeah. Because Grindr is kind of scary for a trans lady a little bit.
I can imagine. Do you get a lot of like very rude comments?
Just intense. I mean, it's like a lot of like holes and a lot of like, you're just like, it's like 8 a.m. on a Tuesday and it's like an asshole like in your face. I don't know. It's just a lot.
So it's like a methed out booty hole.
It's a methed out booty hole that's like I'm in your house and you're like, what? How? Like it's
how
like
did you find me?
It's crazy. The reason why I would do Grindr is because like the type of guy that would reach out to me, and this was earlier on in my transition where like I feel like now I'm in a different place just in terms of like my own development, but like hot guy. I'm talking like the hottest straight guys who are like they're like 24 and they're like. They're like the hottest guys you've ever seen in your life.
Right.
And they're just like, they're literally just like, you're so gorgeous. And like, you're what I'm attracted to. Like there's something so affirming about that. Unfortunately.
Right. Yeah. We talked about this a while ago. We talked about wedding rings. Like what is it about when a man has a wedding ring on that you're just like, well, I'm going to ruin your marriage now. Like,
yes.
You're like, it just makes them hotter. And people don't.
Well, I don't think that's the same thing, but okay.
No,
I think it's like different when like someone tells me that I'm like super hot and they're really hot. I'm like, yes, that makes me feel good about myself because a hot person is telling me
I'm
hot.
Exactly.
But like a married man telling me that I'm hot, I'm it's like fine. If he's really hot, then I'm like, yes.
I guess what I was reading into it was affirmation from like straight guys who would only say that on the app, but never like date you out in the world.
Which I'd be like,
a narrative I hear a lot.
Oh, come wreck my hole.
Yeah, it's like, yes, exactly. Wreck my hole. Like, what it is like, it's like this really hot person thinks I'm hot. right. am I hot? And it comes from a very like self-esteem issue place. Like, and luckily I have grown to where, you know, I don't really need that anymore. And also my taste has changed. Like I taste, that's a weird word to use. It's not taste. Like I'm not really into straight guys anymore. It's just been so painful. It's been such a hard road to try to date straight men. And so I now pretty much only date like queer people or like, you know, trans guys or non-binary people are so hot. Like, not in a weird way. That wasn't like a weird, like, oh, non-binary. Blah, blah, blah. I mean, I'm non-binary. I'm a non-binary trans person. So I go by she and they. So it's like, it that's so much more affirming to me now. Like, that's what's affirming. Like, it's affirming for someone to understand me and not have to explain like who I am to the person and have that person be like, oh, want to suck my dick. You know, it's like, it's not good for me. It's not good
for
me.
The sidestep.
Even if they're hot.
Had a guest on who is a trans person and they were talking to us about being fetishized and like trying to spot the difference. Do you ever feel like it's a hard, you can't tell if you're being fetishized or...
Well, unfortunately, I think when it comes to straight men, it's the whole thing. I think I'm always being fetishized by straight men because like Big Dipper was saying, like, they would never date me publicly. They would never, ever, like, I would never meet their parents. Like, you know, like it's very much about sex and like sex only. And I do blame like the society that we exist in for that, because what's so sad is that all these hot men love diverse people,
right?
But because of society and patriarchy and white supremacy and like all those things that we exist in, they are not even allowed to publicly love us. And so then they hurt us because of this, like, they hate themselves for being cowards. And so, like, you know what I'm saying? It's just trans people really get the brunt. Yeah, they get the brunt of a lot of weird political stuff. And our identity is not political, but it's made political.
Yes.
And it's just like, it sucks.
Yeah. I want to read some of these that you've posted because to me, they're so funny. Yes, okay. They're so funny. This person wrote to you, "Hi. Short profile you got there," and then like the next day wrote, "Even shorter reply, LOL." Your response was, "Okay, you're actually kind of a bitch." This other person wrote to you, "Were you at REI today?" Your response, "Absolutely not."
Oh my God.
And then this one is great too. They write, "Hey," you write, "Hello." They write, "What brings you on here?" You write, "Community service."
Oh.
Listen.
Because you're out here educating the youth.
I'm educating. The thing is, it's like I was telling my friend the other day, I want a museum for my Grindr messages. I want a museum. I want like a place where they can live forever. Yeah.
You should just start. You should start a separate Instagram account.
That's true.
For horrible Grindr messages.
That's true. Did you see my Elder Plum Chronicles? That's my favorite.
Yes.
So this missionary from this Mormon missionary got my number. And he lives in Christian County, because I still have my same number from then. And he like started messaging me, and I was like, I'm just going to play around with this guy because it's so funny. And the result is me telling him that I went to a sex party and got COVID and then I was in the hospital, and him just like believing me. And like, I'm not explaining it very well, but it truly is one of my favorite things that's ever happened in the world.
Imagine
it's like
sending
it's really
this
good
to a number you don't know. "Hey, God loves you. Don't forget it. 2,000 years ago, people found hope in a star. Let's spread hope this Christmas season of arguably the worst year ever. Send me a message if you want some joy or want to know how to share some with others. Sorry, this is way random. I just felt like I should text you today. Merry Christmas." Out of the blue comes to your phone.
Yes. And his name is Elder Plum. So it's just not Elder Plum. It's Elder Plum. So
it's the
whole
clue
thing
game
is just
of Christian County.
And every time I kept trying to shock him, he kept just coming back like non-judgmentally. And so people were actually rooting. People out there in the world were rooting for us to like get together because it was just getting really intimate. It was like it was getting kind of hot. It was hot.
It was hot.
Actually, you know what? It was fucking sexy.
It was hot. Let's be real. Yeah.
Oh my God.
All right. What a wonderful time. Thank you so much for being here, Nori. We had a wonderful time. Why don't you tell everyone where they can follow you and see these fun Grindr comments and your special?
You know, on Instagram, I am Nori Reed. And on Twitter, I am Real Nori Reed.
Ooh.
Oh. Mm-hmm. The realness.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, thank amazing. You all so much for listening to this episode of Sloppy Seconds with Big Dipper and Meatball. Don't forget that our number is 213-536-9180 or email us sloppysecondspod@gmail.com. And don't forget to subscribe so you don't ever miss a show, which come out every Tuesday and Friday. Our Instagrams are Big Dipper Jelly and Spicy as Meatball or Sloppy Pod. Thanks so much. Goodbye. Doodle-a-doot-doot forever dog. To listen to Sloppy Seconds ad-free and one day early, sign up for Forever Dog Plus at foreverdogpodcast.com/plus.
Sloppy Seconds is produced by Forever Dog and Moguls of Media, a.k.a. Mom.
Hosted by Big Dipper and Meatball. Music, editing, and sound design by William Pitt.
Executive produced by Willem Belli, Alaska Thunderfuck, Joe Cilio, Brett Boehm, and Alex Ramsey.
Our artwork was drawn by Christian Cimarroni.
And our theme song was written by Mike Malarkey.